This is the Angry GM. This is a proofread aloud, and this is me starting it now. Struction, an introduction to structure, which is a very uncreative title that is I'm really not super proud of, but it's all I had, so we're going with it. This feature is part of my ongoing true scenario design research. You guys all know this part, and I don't need to read it out loud because I'm just basically copy-pasting it from each previous article, so whatever. Struction, an introduction to structure. Today, we're putting all that pre-design crap behind crap. Nope. First error. That whole sentence is a load of crap. Let's try that again. Today, we're putting all that pre-design crap behind us and starting a whole new big-ass module in true scenario designery. For the next lots of lessons, I'm going to teach you about scenario structure. It's a big topic with lots of ideas in it. You see, structure is where we jump from thinking to building. We'll even break out the graph paper and start mapping, flowcharting, noting, or whatever. Or break out the paper for outlining. But put away your crayons because we're not there yet. See, any mere adventure builder can structure. It's easy. Draw a dungeon. Did you draw one? Great. You structured a scenario. True scenario design ain't just about taking the time to make a structure. It's about knowing what makes good structures good. Sidebar. Top-down design versus end-then design. This course is all about something we in the biz call top-down design. That's where you figure out the big picture crap first, like goals and macro challenges and gameplay dynamics, and then break it all down into chunks and then build the chunks according to the big picture plan. In fact, it's this top-down thing that separates true scenario design from mere adventure building. Mere adventure building takes a more bottom-up approach, where you build individual gameplay elements and counters and shit and just string them together. Or you build a node map or a dungeon and you populate it. That ain't bad, but it doesn't allow you to work with the most important aspects of the subjective gameplay experience. There's another approach to design too, and that's the purview of improvisational game masters who let players screw around and just react to everything they do. It's also the purview of generative AI. It's an iterative approach where every next thing follows from the current thing. I call it end-then design for that reason. End-then design can get you a fun experience, but it's the least cohesive and most shallow. Bottom-up design is a little richer and a little more cohesive, and it's good for mere adventure building. But top-down design is where you build emergent, dynamic, holistic gameplay experiences. Put another way, end-then design leaves players saying, "Remember when I did that thing?" Bottom-up design leaves players saying, "Hey, remember that awesome encounter?" And top-down design leaves players saying, "Remember that awesome adventure where this happened and that and then this other thing and all that stuff?" Back to the article. What means structure? On the surface, structure is really simple. In fact, it's so simple, it seems like it's barely even a thing. Like, you know how a scenario, say an adventure, might be split into chapters or acts, and those chapters might be full of events and encounters and challenges and shit, and how sometimes those events and encounters come all in a row, and sometimes they're spread out across a dungeon for the players to wander through? Well, that's structure. But structure isn't technically what we true scenario designers actually care about. See, no matter what you do, an adventure or a campaign or a scene or an encounter is going to have some kind of structure. Some stuff's going to come before other stuff and after some other stuff, and it's going to be organized somehow into chunks because otherwise we mortal humans who are trapped in a series of successive single moments in time couldn't play scenarios. We're not Tralfamadorians or Bajoran wormhole entities or whatever. What we care about, and what I'm talking about when I say structure, is building a deliberately, intentionally good structure. One that makes the scenario feel really satisfying to play through, which is not one word in this case. Play through in one word is a noun. To play through is an action. One that makes the scenario feel really satisfying to play through, and one that emphasizes and enhances the scenario designer's goals and aligns with their vision and all that crap that's wrapped up in the subjective concept of a piece of fictional artistic entertainment being good. Structure, then, is really about the relationship between all the elements being strung together, however they're strung together. Technically, a dungeon map is a scenario structure. It's basically just a flowchart that diegetically exists in the world, or whatever. It's an adventure structure the characters can walk around in. But the difference between a good dungeon map and a bad dungeon map is how the rooms are laid out in relation to each other, and which things happen in what rooms and in what order, and how many different permutations exist to fully explore the space and shit like that. Get it? This whole section of the course is about understanding how your structure decisions affect the quality of the scenario so you can make good decisions and thereby make good scenarios. And that is what I'm calling, for simplicity's sake, structure. A tale of two structures. The first thing you've got to understand about structure vis-a-vis tabletop role-playing game scenarios is that tabletop role-playing game scenarios have double the structure for double the fun, and that's the second time in a week of writing I've used a double mint gum joke completely unintentionally. So if you've ever doubted the power of advertising, especially involving twin buxom blondes, doubt no more. But I digress. Tabletop role-playing game scenarios are unique because they've got two different underlying structures. By their nature, every tabletop role-playing game scenario has a gameplay structure and a narrative structure. Gameplay structure is all about how the gameplay elements fit together. It's to do with how the players navigate the scenario and move from challenge to challenge and scene to scene and what they're doing in each and how victories and defeats carry forward and all of that. Narrative structure is all about how the game's events fit together into the story the players experience as they play the game. It's to do with things like rising actions and climaxes and act structures and dynamic structures. And act structures and all of that crap. Just correcting this, Willa. You know what I mean. It's to do with all of that stuff. Anyway, let me be clear that of the two, it's the gameplay structure that has the most to say about how the players feel about the game as they play it. Later on, the narrative structure plays a role in what the players think about the game when they're done playing it, but the gameplay structure also has some influence there. You can't totally ignore narrative structure because, remember, narrative is a gameplay aesthetic, and many role-playing game players are motivated by a desire to participate in a well-structured narrative, and role-playing games specifically promise that as one of their core engagements. Even players who don't self-identify as filthy story gamers do feel the game's narrative on an intrinsic level, and thus many role-playing gamers' engagements are affected strongly. Thus, many role-playing, let me add a noun, a phrase in there to see. I'm struggling here. Thus, many role-playing gamers' engagement in the game is affected. But that's fine. That at least tells me that about my agreement in tenses and subjects and noun and verbs and objects and shit. Okay, whatever the term is, whatever I'm saying, it tells me. And thus, many role-playing gamers' engagement is affected strongly by the narrative structure. In point of fact, most of the obnoxious dumbasses who call themselves story gamers are wrong. They don't really care about the narrative elements at all. Instead, they're selfish performers who just want to show off the wacky antics of their crappy self-insert fanfic avatars for a crowd of clapping seals. So every scenario has two structures you've got to worry about, and they're both important, but one is kind of subservient to another, but you can't completely ruin one for the sake of the other. If that sounds complicated, that's because it is complicated. Why the hell do you think most adventure? Okay, I don't know whether I'm writing bad or reading bad. I'm reading bad. The writing is fine. The writing isn't great. The writing's not stellar. The writing is up to my normal 6 out of 10 level of crappiness or non-crappiness. So, you know, it's average, but I am reading badly today, and I am sorry to all of you listening, and now I need a sip of my coffee. That will fix everything, except it's after 12 noon, so it's decaf, so it won't. So every scenario has two structures you've got to worry about, and they're both important, but one is kind of subservient to another, but you can't completely ruin one for the sake of another. If that sounds complicated, that's because it is complicated. Why the hell do you think most adventures most people write are crap? True scenario designery is hard. But let me try an analogy here to help you get the relationship. Imagine you're a cake baker, a caker, and some shrieking harridan hires you to make a birthday cake for her insipid brat's SpongePants pineapple-themed birthday party. She wants the cake to look like SpongePants. Your success depends on your ability to make something that works both as a cake and as a decoration at a SpongePants pineapple party. You have to do both, otherwise Karen's going to talk to your manager. Now, obviously the cake has to look like SpongePants, and it also has to be delicious. But assuming you do a minimally good job, assuming you make an edible cake that doesn't poison people, and that it resembles SpongePants enough to satisfy a bunch of children with the attention spans of goldfish and their bedraggled parents who don't even know that SpongePants lives in a pineapple under the sea, the most important factor that's going to push Karen to actually say something nice for once in her life is how the cake tastes. The proof of the cake is in the eating, as they say. If you give Karen a cake that looks just kind of okay, and then it turns out to taste amazing, everyone at the party is much more likely to talk about how good the cake is than if you give her a cake that looks amazing and then tastes bland and dull. Gameplay structure is your game working as a cake. A birthday cake absolutely has to be a cake first. Narrative structure is your game working as a decoration at a themed party. A birthday cake has to be pleasing to the eye and fit the theme of the party second. Yes, the appearance is the first impression, but it's also the thing you can get past if the cake is delicious. You can't recover from the cake tasting like ass. Just ask the kids. Now, fortunately, there are lots of overlapping elements between gameplay structure and narrative structure. They're actually pretty similar in a lot of ways. Gameplay structures, for example, include goals, major challenges, and outcomes, just like narrative structures include incitements, climaxes, and resolutions. That makes this two-design shit not so hard to deal with. In some ways, anyway, because there are also places where the two structures don't play as nice. For example, one of the most effective narrative structures for quest-type stories is the good old three-act structure. But the absolute most effective gameplay structure for most games, and especially for open-ended games, is a four-part progression. So you'll often find yourself trying to build a game that comes in four parts, sort of, and a story that comes in three parts, but not really. Does that sound complicated? Well, again, it is. This shit ain't for mere adventure builders. That's what dungeon crawls and node-based adventures, and I just react to what the players do, and I don't build challenges, I build situations are for. It's for the losers who can't hack it at real game design. But it's also not as complicated as it sounds. Once you really understand this shit, you'll understand, first of all, that the four-part progression doesn't need all four parts every time, and that you can build them into longer-term progressions throughout campaigns, and that they also fit very neatly into the second act of a three-act narrative, so the first and third acts become bookends to the gameplay. Second, you'll understand that the three-act structure isn't really about the acts, and that there are three of them, and that you can extract the essence of the three-act structure to make a four-act structure, or a five-act structure, or however many acts you want. But those are problems for future you. Actually, those are problems for future me, because I have to figure out how to teach you what all that shit means in a way you can understand. Today's problem is just understanding that structure is about how the ingredients mix together, and that a good scenario is like a birthday cake that looks like SpongePants pineapple, and that sometimes it's easy to do and sometimes it's hard to do. Whatever the hell a side thing is called. The thing on the side. The thing on the side entitled, holy crap, I literally forgot the word. It's not coming. I opened my mouth. It's like side... bar. Sidebar. No, that's in a courtroom. That's a sidebar. No, it is a sidebar. No. I need to pause the recording for a second. Hello, listeners. I'm back. I apologize for my unprofessional corpsing there. I don't know what happened or why it happened, but I'm ready to continue now with a sidebar entitled A Tale Well Told is a Tale Well Loved. Whenever I start talking about narrative structure, lots of you dumbasses hear me talking about telling good, interesting stories or some horse shit like that. Then you start spewing dumbass opinions like, failure makes for more interesting stories, and if you knew anything about good stories, you wouldn't have characters meeting in a tavern to go sail a bestial, savage, irredeemable orcs. Let me make this clear. The quality of a story is infinitely more dependent on how it's told than what it's about. That's why there's good storytellers and bad storytellers. Everyone has that one friend who can make even the most boring slice of their life sound exciting and hilarious because they know how to tell an engaging story. And everyone has that one friend who sucks so bad at telling stories that they can make their encounter with an escaped canoe rampaging through a pie factory a dull slog to listen to. That's why so many story games suck. A good story game isn't one that's full of interesting happenings, but rather it's one that helps a game master and a bunch of players that suck at storytelling to tell a story well. Heading: The Elements of Gameplay Structure. Now, this lesson is just an introduction to the idea of structure, so I'm not going to explain too much today, but I do want to give you some idea of what true scenario designers are looking at when they're evaluating structure and making structure decisions. In the next lesson, I'm going to show you the actual core structure of an adventure and show you how a true scenario designer like me evaluates it. But I do want to toss a couple of basic concepts at you just to put them in your head, especially because I'm repurposing and inventing some terminology here to make shit as clear as possible. When it comes to gameplay structure, we generally think in terms of the shape of the gameplay, its flow, and its progressions. You can think of gameplay shape as a way of describing the map of the game. Consider, for example, a dungeon map. It can be fairly linear, or it can be made of branching paths with lots of loops, or it can be very open. Well, non-dungeons have a shape too. You can present any adventure as a flowchart or a list or a timeline or whatever, and it's gonna have a shape, right? Different kinds of scenes and adventures and encounters benefit from different shapes, and mixing shapes across an adventure and nesting them inside each other affects how the gameplay feels at certain points. The gameplay flow is, well, it's something I would call pacing, except I want to reserve that term for the narrative side of the equation. Besides, it really isn't strictly analogous with pacing. Instead, it's how engagement changes from one event to the next. When the players find a mysterious shrine and fan out to gather information, The pace of that event is driven mostly by the players, and it's got an investigative and explorative feel. Then, when the cultists burst in and ambush the players, the pace is tight and constrained, and things feel urgent, and there's a combat-y feel because of the combat that is happening. A lot of this shit is about what I've called mode of play in the past, but it's broader than just saying, now this is exploring, and now this is interacting, and now this is delving. Those simple classifications are mere adventure builder baby toys. Gameplay progression is related to gameplay flow, but it's distinct enough that I want to talk about it separately. It's all about how the gameplay builds on itself as the players play through it. In my module, The Fall of Silverpine Watch, for example, the players fight a group of four zombies in a divided arena that's easy to control, then they fight five zombies in a cluttered arena that's harder to control. That's a very simple challenge progression. Likewise, the zombies have a trait that gives them a coin flip chance to come back to life with one HP if they're not killed with fire or holy magic. Later, the undead blacksmith regenerates damage every turn if he's not hit with fire or holy magic. Meanwhile, there's an investigative scene with a corpse on the road that teaches the players how to ask questions about a scene by using their characters to interact with it. Later, there's a scene with a desk from which they can surmise a bunch of clues to find some valuable treasures if they ask the right questions. Later still, there's a scene with some bonus treasure if they very thoroughly search a room for hidden elements. Now, you might be tempted to think that gameplay progression is all about what I've called tutorializing in the past. You might think it's all about how you teach players what they need to know to play the game. Well, that's part of it, but that's not all of it. Gameplay progression is how the players gain skills and resources, and how the game then escalates to demand those players use those skills and resources. In other words, it's how the players and the characters get good, and how the game then gets good to keep the pressure up. And now I'm realizing I should have called that flow, since it's closely related to the gameplay concept of flow state, but fuck it. This is my course and I like progression. Sidebar, which is the correct word, again. Stand back and squint. I know you're all going to hate this, but a lot of this structure crap, especially the whole concept of gameplay shape, is down to something I call stand back and squint. When you look at a painting, you can talk about all the elements in the painting and the different colors of paint you can see and the brush strokes and all that crap. But if you take a giant step back away from the painting and squint your eyes, you might notice the painting mostly looks blue and it mostly looks curvy. And you might even describe it as kind of like the ocean, even though it's a painting of like flowers or Jesus or something, and there's lots of different colors in it. Those broad forest instead of trees impressions actually affect your experience of a piece of art, even if you don't consciously notice them. In fact, they usually affect your experience a lot more because they hit you in the feels, not the thinks, which is where your engagement really lives. Consequently, when we true scenario designers talk about the shape of an adventure or its X factor or whatever, we're taking a stand back and squint approach. We're not counting encounters and saying, this adventure is mostly about interaction because 60% of the encounters are interaction. Instead, we're saying, this adventure is primarily about exploration because a lot of the activities are the players asking questions and getting information to satisfy their curiosity and on their own initiative, even if they're mostly doing it socially. And even though it's got a clear linear progression, it's actually got an open shape as far as the players will experience it. In other words, this isn't shit you know, it's shit you feel, and I know you all love it when I remind you that logic and reason are less important than irrational subjective feelings. Heading, the elements of narrative structure. Feeling overwhelmed by all this crap? Well, don't worry, because we're almost done. The gameplay structure is really the big, tough stuff. I only have to briefly touch on the elements of narrative structure. That's partly because most of y'all are already familiar with it, and partly because a lot of it tends to fall into place pretty easily around the gameplay structure once you know what you're doing, despite my terrifying you with how complicated it is to make an adventure that works as both a game and looks like a pineapple or whatever the hell I said above. I don't remember. I was drinking pretty heavily when I wrote that bullshit. Just as gameplay structure really just comes down to how the game's challenges and events are grouped together and strung in sequence, narrative structure is about how the game's plot is strung together. What events happen in what order and how they're related to each other and how the elements in those events are related and how you can clump them together. In point of fact, narrative structure kind of mirrors gameplay structures, at least if you stand back and squint. Narratives have progressions. We call them plot arcs or character arcs. And they have shapes, like a three-act structure. And they have pacing, which we just call pacing because that's what it is. And that describes how tension builds and releases while trending upward through the course of a work until it's finally fully released in the climax. Consequently, as long as you, a true scenario designer in training, are aware of the elements of narrative structure, you can mostly map them to the elements of gameplay structure. Plot points become scenes or encounters. A story arc plays out along the game's critical path. A side quest contains a complete character arc for some non-player quest giver. The game's final challenge is the story's climax, and so on. Which is why I said that, yeah, this shit is hard, but it's not that hard. And as with all things, it gets easier when you do it enough. So what next? Well, next is all the lessons about structure that I've set up. Obviously. Duh. But the very next thing I'm going to do is make this all a little more concrete by showing you how to lay the core of a scenario's structure. If you think of a scenario structure like the frame of a building, I'm going to show you the biggest, most important girders or joists or yard arms or whatever the hell you call the first pieces of wood you weld together in a house shape when you're making a house. I don't know. I'm not a constructioneer. After that, we'll dig into successively smaller. After that, we'll dig successfully into successively smaller, finer structural elements, and when we're finally done with all the structure crap, you'll actually be most of the way to designing pretty damn good scenarios like a true designer.